All right, we're going to go to the Word. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. In a New King James is where we're going to begin this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And it reads, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God in him are maybe, yes. In him, I hope so. Amen." It says yes and amen. So that's who God is. He does not change. And God hangs his whole character, his entire nature, all of who he is on those two words, yes and amen. I heard the story of a motivational speaker one time who started off with a question for his audience. And the question was, do dogs like bones? Don't answer. Do dogs like bones? And the audience basically replied, yeah, sure, dogs like bones. And the speaker said, actually, they like meat, but they settle for bones. Don't settle for bones. It's like if I go in for a steak, but I come out with a beef jerky. It's both beef. Supposedly the same category, but I didn't want the beef jerky. I wanted the steak. Amen. When walking by faith, you do not have to settle for less than what God promises, because in him, all of his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. I want to share with you this morning under the topic, walking out your faith. Walking out your faith. And how many know this is a walk? How many points do you think I have this morning? God is good. Look at y'all. I got 3 points. Point number one. We're going to put it up. It says, faith requires intentional action. Repeat that after me. Say, faith requires, intentional action. We put forth effort in many areas of our lives and don't really think too much about it. We go to school. We work hard in order to earn a degree. We go to work. We work hard in order to do what? Get paid. Somebody said, pay your tithe. Well, yes, after you get paid, there you go. You need something to pay tithes with, but there you go. That's it. That's the first thing you do. Amen, amen. We understand the role of effort in these areas and in so many other areas. And yet, there's still this mindset that somehow when it comes to spiritual things, that either minimal or no effort is required. That somehow God is just going to do whatever he's going to do, and I just have to sit there and do nothing. Nothing is further from the truth. Faith requires intentional action. You don't drift into faith. It doesn't just happen by accident. You make a decision that I'm going to step into faith, and this is the way it's going to be. You plant your feet firmly on God's word without hesitation, and you do not change. Amen. You hold your head high, regardless of situation or circumstance, and you don't allow anyone or anything or anybody to make you feel less than who God said that you are. You are a child of God. You are washed in his blood this morning. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you've got the faith to get from where you are to where God is trying to get you to. Can you say amen? Say this after me. Say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Amen. I've got to learn how to take possession of my life and take possession of my faith and not just treat faith like I'm rolling the dice and hopefully something good happens. No, I'm not gambling with faith. When God said all my promises are yes and amen, that wasn't a hope. That wasn't a wish. That was a settled fact in heaven. Amen. I heard it said one time that God's word is a blood-sworn oath. Glory to God. You can't change it. It is what it is. So what we've got to do is get on the faith train. Amen. And ride out the faith train to the destination of everything that God's promised us. Can you say amen? Amen. James chapter 2 and verse 17 in the King James, it says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is what? Dead, being alone all by itself. Faith is a two-sided coin. On the one side is believing, and on the other side is acting. So you could say a very simple definition of faith is acting on what you believe. If you believe it, You need to believe it to the point that you add some feet to what you believe. Amen. You act on what you believe. Because faith takes effort, we cannot waste effort and energy on things that don't matter. Amen. As believers, we need to avoid situations that drain us. Amen. We need to avoid debate and arguing and all these things and strife and envy, all these things that wear us down, which the enemy uses. So then when it's time to walk by faith, we don't have the energy that we need and the effort that we need to put our faith into practice. Amen. One of the biggest things that the enemy loves to use is distraction. Well, this person said this. Well, that person said that. Well, all that is completely irrelevant to what God said in his word. Amen. You've got a pulse this morning. You've got a mouth this morning. And you've got a Bible this morning. That's all you need is those three things and you can get to work. Praise God. We got to put anybody in here without a pulse. Raise your hand. Right. There we go. Okay. There we go. Okay. Good. Okay. Everybody's listening. Praise God. Okay. Luke 22. 31 to 32 in the King James. All right, New King James, rather. We're going to go with New King James. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And if you're familiar with the context, this is Jesus talking to Peter. Right before Peter was going to deny Jesus three times, and Jesus was letting him know, hey, some of these things are about to happen. Of course, Peter, as he always was, is a bit stubborn about it. He said, oh, you know, I'll never, Lord, I'd never do any of that. Well, it wasn't too long after that where his flesh crumbled under the midst of pressure. But God still had a plan. Amen. And just because somebody makes a mistake doesn't mean that God still don't have a plan. God's got a plan. So he's saying here, all right, that your faith should not fail. That's New King James. The King James says the phrase, that thy faith fail not. I was thinking about this. What exactly does this mean? Right? You ever get to a point in scripture, you're like, okay, I read it 100 times. What does it mean? What does this mean? Lord, help. What does this mean? All right, so I was looking into it, and I came across this, that a paraphrase of this statement suggests that Jesus was actually telling Peter, don't let your faith be reduced to inactivity. Don't let your faith be reduced to inactivity. Faith fails when it's reduced to inactivity. Faith was never meant to be passive, dormant, or complacent. Faith takes effort. I must believe and act on what I believe in order to experience the progress in my life that God wants me to experience. Amen. And when we read that in Luke 22, 31, 32, it's interesting because Jesus talks about saying, listen, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Well, he was talking about the fact, listen, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But what he says after that, but I have prayed for you. So Jesus already factored in what Peter was going to do. That was already part of the equation. It didn't catch God by surprise. It did catch Peter by surprise because he thought he was stronger than he was. But that's okay because God still had a plan. So he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Why is that so important? Because oftentimes this is what happens. When we miss the mark, the devil uses condemnation to keep us from moving forward in faith. You got to understand this. That's what Jesus is telling Peter here. Your faith fail not. Okay, I pray you're going to mess up, but I pray for you. Your faith's not going to fail. So what happens is we miss the mark. That's the simple definition of sin, right? So then we come under conviction, and the devil likes to tack on his tactics, condemnation, and all these things to try to beat us up. And because of that, we're in bondage now. And because we're in bondage, our faith is being reduced to inactivity. Because instead of being focused on what God said in his word, I'm now focused on my own shortcomings and how I have missed the mark. When God is saying, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Get up off that mistake. Amen. Do what you got to do. Repent. Change your mind. Change your direction and move forward. Pick up your faith and move forward with your life. Amen. You can't change the past. We've all had dumb days. Some of it, we've had dumber days than others. We've had a long list. It's all good. All of that is under the blood. All that matters is today. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm choosing to rejoice and be glad in it. God's got a plan for me right now, and it's not based upon my own failures or my own shortcomings or how many times I've missed the mark. It is based only on him and on his word in him. All of his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Walking out your faith. So that was point number one. Faith requires intentional action. Point number two, faith develops over time. Repeat after me. Say, faith develops, over time. This is a key to understand. In our own faith walk, in walking out our faith, is that God often works progressively, not instantly. It's a process. And because it's a process, I have got to be sure that I'm locked into my faith. You know, it's kind of like when we're traveling up north. My wife is so, looking so pretty today in her Yankee hat and Yankee World Series. I don't care if they lost or not. They made it to the World Series that other year. Praise God. So it's like looking all distracted me, looking all cute. All right. So if we're traveling up north to see her parents or my mom, it's a long trip. It's about 10 hours. But once we get on the right road, so all of a sudden, it doesn't become quite as long, because we know if we just ride out where we are, we follow the instructions, we follow the directions, we are going to get there. So you can't allow time to mess with your mind, because once you're locked in to being on the right path, you are going to get there. Things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. Amen. And for all of us, at times, no pun intended, it is the process of time that can be a challenge. All right. I'm sorry. This is because my wife's looking at SMA, shaking my head. Okay. Genesis 8:22 in the New King James. All right. I get it honest. All right. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, this is New King James, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remains. We're still here, right? We're here. Right? We have cold and heat, right? Yes. We have winters. Yes, yes. We've had a whole lot of winter. Muscle memory. My back's remembering all that shoveling I used to do in Pennsylvania. So I'm like, okay. All right. So winter and summer, day and night. All this is true, right? So it means we also have seed and harvest. But right in the middle of seed and harvest is what? Time. Oh, I don't want to wait. I was teaching Elizabeth that, her favorite word, to wait. I don't even say it anymore. I said, what's your favorite word? She's like, wait, rolls her eyes. I'm like, okay, good, you know. So you already know that. We'll talk about this later. You got it? But let's be honest. Time has tripped us all up, all right, in different seasons. You can't rush time. You can't make time go by any quicker. You can't bypass time. You can't somehow worm your way around it. If you're going to get from your seed to your harvest, it is going to take time. And this is how faith develops. You need to lock into the fact and be okay with the fact that it's going to take time. So just buckle up, hang in there, learn to walk by faith, and ride it out. Amen? The promises of God require patience, because manifestation is a process. Repeat that after me. Say, the promises of God require patience, because manifestation is a process. And I want to encourage you today, don't allow the length of a challenge to deter you from claiming God's promises. Because that's what often happens, is we just simply give up too soon because the sense of, hey, it's taking too long. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The passage of time does not negate God's promises. Amen. God's promises remain true. There's an end in sight for you. Praise God. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You may not be able to see the light right now, but keep traveling down that tunnel, and slowly but surely you're going to see something. Wait a minute. I think that looks like light. And you got to stay in the tunnel. Amen. Keep going. Keep believing. Keep confessing. You're almost there. You've heard the word. You put the word into practice. Pastor James has prophesied. This is our year of manifested faith. It's not time to back up. It's not time to be lax in faith. It's not time to be comfortable in faith. It's time to grab a hold of what we've been taught and hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful who promised. Praise God. Let's go to Mark 4, 26 to 28. In the King James, Mark 4, 26 to 28, this is Jesus talking here. It says, and he, that's Jesus, said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So what is Jesus saying here? Faith develops and grows over time. Over time. I remember when our girls were small, many of y'all know this, but we raised five, you know, so that was an exciting adventure. Still is, praise God. All right. But, you know, everything's times five. I was talking to somebody about that before service. It's not that we were pack rats, but when you got, okay, everybody needs a dresser, everybody needs a bed, everybody needs socks. So you times everything by five, it's a whole lot of stuff. All right. So then it comes to school. Sent home the same paperwork. Five different times. I'm like, come on. I filled this out. It's the same us. Same mom and dad. But that one's on pink paper and that one's on blue paper. It's like, what does it matter? It's like, don't you have computers? Can we do this over the phone? Can you just ask me questions? We'll type it. We'll get it over with. So they come home with all sorts of stuff. And I remember in elementary school, I was thinking about Felicia. She's also wearing a Yankee. I got them sold out today. So also wearing a Yankee shirt today. So she's in the back on lights. In nursing school, killing it, let me tell you. Amen. And proud of her. So, you know, they all were energetic in their own right. But let me tell you, this girl, energetic? We used to run this field when she was five. And it took all I could to run it just one time. And we're done once. And she's like, oh, can we go again? I'm like, can we go again? I'm like, feet? What are you saying right now? Okay, so, she, they come home with projects and everything. She comes home one day. She's so excited, half skipping her way in the door. All she comes home with is this cup, this styrofoam cup, and there's dirt inside of it. Dirt in a cup, and she's excited. And I remember this is what she told me. She said, my teacher said if we would water it, the seed that we put inside the dirt would grow. And so all she had was dirt. Over a dirt and styrofoam cup, and you're excited already? All right? It's the faith of a child. She was excited about something the teacher said would happen, even though it hadn't happened yet. That's faith, y'all, right there. So we would water it every, of course, you got to water it every day. First question, did it grow overnight? You know, all those same, you know, parenting is saying the same thing on autopilot for 18 years. Got it. Record once, press play. Okay, y'all, I'm losing my breath. We need to just streamline all this. Okay, it's like same thing. All right, got it. So we water it every day. We'll check it every day. Finally, one day, the tiniest little piece of green shot up through the soil. And you know what? She wasn't upset about it because it was so tiny. She was elated that something showed up. She was like, okay, there was nothing or looked like nothing, and then there was something. And see, you need to understand this. When Jesus is saying first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, by the time you see the blade, it's already been working. You're thinking because you first saw it means that's the first sign. No. That's the first sign to you. But things have been happening in the unseen realm, in that soil, hallelujah, that you haven't seen with the natural eye. So don't give up now. Because when you see the blade is a prophetic word over what's coming next. You got to receive that. Don't get mad at the blade. Don't be upset because it's small. Praise God because it means I'm on the right road. And if I stay on the right road, it's going to turn into everything that God promised. Amen. That ear and the full corn in the ear. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Catch my breath. Yeah, man. All that snow shoveling. I'm telling you, I've been exercising a lot this week. All right, there you go. And now I'm teaching in pinstripes. There you go. Look at Jesus. All right, walking out your faith. Walking out your faith. All right, point number one, let's review. Faith requires intentional action. Got it? Number two, faith develops over time. And number three, faith is sustained by discipline. Faith is sustained by discipline. So discipline, that word sounds awful lot like the word disciple, right? Discipline, disciple, comes from the same root word. I don't even try to pronounce these other languages, but you can look it up yourself and figure it out whatever. It's all from the same. You can see it. So a disciple is a follower, a learner, right? We're followers of Jesus. We're learners. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? So we're learning. We're disciples. Discipline is applying what you have learning as a disciple. That's what discipline is. Now, discipline is taking what I've learned and now I'm going to apply it. And that's how faith is sustained. One of the most incredible examples I've ever seen of this was Pastor James during the church building project, the building that we're sitting in right now. He just would not quit. And, you know, since I'm the numbers guy, I'm going to give you some numbers. You know, that's the joke. If you want you know, random numbers that may or may not be helpful, just ask Pat. He'll probably know. You got it? So, hey, God likes numbers too, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all right? What's next? There you go. Okay, we got a whole book called Numbers. So, okay, so I'm in good company, all right? So some numbers here. So the church begins in August of 2007. August 2007, the church begins. Fall of 2008, I call that, is when the real estate market crashed. If y'all remember that, 2008, everything nosedived, and government had to come up with like $787 billion after saying they were broke. Where they got, I don't know. So, but anyway, all right, banks were involved and all kinds of stuff. So this is the climate when Pastor James gets a word in 2009 that Without Limits is to build a building. He gets the word of the Lord. So he comes up with a confession that says Without Limits is building and breaking ground this year. And he never changed his confession throughout this process. And I was very, Ellen and I were texting last night. I'm like, isn't this number right? Isn't this number right? Because I want to be correct. So from 2009 to 2011, in that window of time, 37 banks said no. 37? 37. You know how many 37 is? 37. Yeah, it takes a long time to get to 37. So all these no's, surrounded by all these no's, but God still had a yes. So discipline is staying with what God said no matter what. So right in the middle, I remember this as clear as day, right in the middle of all these no's, Pastor James tells the staff, he says, hey, you know, I'm going to take the day off. You know, he works incredibly hard, you know, and he's like, if you need me, call me, let me know, kind of thing. So I don't really hear from him that much that day. And then late in the day, he says, hey, could you swing by? You know, something Ellen has that I need. Can you swing by when you're done? And y'all lived in Taberna at that time, actually. FYI. So I show up. Pastor James opens the door. He's got a smile. You know, his big smile. He looks kind of chill, smile on his face. He says, come on in. I go inside his house, and everywhere, I mean, all the floor, the tables, these building plans just spread out. I'm like, this is our man of God on his day off. This is just a faith off day for him. You got it? And he's locked in. And I remember that so clearly because it was like no matter what, whether it was a day off, whether no matter what else was going, he refused to let go of what God promised. And we're all here in this building this morning, worshiping God, loving each other, hearing God's word, because we have a man and a woman of God, all right, whose faith was sustained by discipline. That's why we're here. So the key to you, the key to your family, the key to your children making it, the key to you prospering, the key to you having a good life is having faith that is sustained by discipline. And let me tell you this, it matters who you follow. And it matters who you associate with. That may not be popular, but it is right. You hang around doubt and unbelief all the time, you're going to end up consumed with that. You can read it yourself. It's not in my notes, but Mark 5, Jesus says, the Bible says, Mark 5, around verse 40, it says, he put doubt out. He was trying to heal somebody, and all this doubt was in the room. He said, you got to go. And sometimes we got to get insistent. Doubt, you've got to go. You know, I love you, but you're not going to speak faith over what I'm dealing with, so we ain't talking right now. Hebrews 6 and 12 in the King James, it says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You got to be careful who you follow. You got to be careful who you associate with. Because sometimes if you're quote, you're in a group and you're doing something to better yourself and nobody else is, that's when, oh, who do you think you are? You think you're so much better. No, fool, you are too, but you don't believe it. I'm not allowing doubt to be in my circle. I've got debt freedom on my mind. Amen. I've got 5 girls who are going to live an incredible life. Praise God. I've got a grandson who will never experience lack, defeat, anything other than God promised. I'm locking into my faith. Praise God. Sounded like Mr. T. No, fool. I'm like, where'd that come from? I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm like, all right. Definition time. Consistency. Consistency is faith that shows up even when feelings don't. You got it? Consistency is faith that shows up when feelings don't. Consistency is an emphasis on routine over hype. Routine over hype. Day-to-day consistency looks like nothing special is happening until one day you pause, reflect, and notice everything is different and better. Keep going. Let's go to Romans. Where are we going to go? Romans 4 and 18 in the Message. Amen. We're going to skip the Passion Translation. That's my bad. We're going to do the Message. Talking about Abraham is here. It says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. I love that. Isn't that good? So he had to be disciplined to get his focus based off of the natural circumstance and tuned in to what God promised he would do. And let's read a little bit down in that in the Message, verses 20 to 21. It says, he didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise. I love that. Plunged. When I think of plunge, I think of water. I think it's, you know, baptism, plunge. You plunge. So if you plunge, somebody who gets baptized, you plunge. Is any part of them not wet? No. They get all wet. And so he plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. And so that imagery there is letting us know, I've got to be all in. The person who sits by the pool and just gets their feet wet, did they plunge? No. Most people who don't see God's promises come to pass simply do one thing. They give up too soon. That's it. That's the number one reason. That's not us. We're going to take this word. We're going to beat the devil's head with it. Amen. We're going to see God's goodness manifest in our lives, in our marriages, in our families. Amen. In our children, without exception and without excuse. Amen. We leave our excuses by the wayside and we lock into walking out our faith. We're going to review and I'm out of time. So point number one, faith requires intentional action, right? Walking out our faith. Point number two, faith develops over time. And point number three, faith is sustained by discipline. That's who you are. Those three points, I want you to take that personally today and say, that's me walking out my faith. That's me. That's who I am. Do you receive that word on today? Amen. Give God a hand of praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We do want to give time for our appeals. Amen. We believe every week that none of the harvest is lost. Amen. Every person in the room counts today. Amen. You may be here today and you may think, I do not count. Well, let me tell you, you count. And we thank God today for the harvest and none of the harvest being lost in Jesus' name. And you believers with me, bowing your head and closing your eyes and praying all over the building. I just want to share a few things this morning. You know, maybe you're here today and you've heard about this Jesus and you've heard about this faith and you don't know him yet as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity today. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Romans 10 and 9 teaches us that if we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. I believe today that God is speaking to you. I believe some of you are experiencing, maybe you could call it a nudge or just this sense of conviction that you know, I need to make a change. That's the Holy Spirit working in you right now. And maybe you need to rededicate your life to him. Maybe you made some mistakes and walked away from God, but I want you to understand that God loves you and he's not mad at you. And simply, even as Christians, maybe today we just need to, something we need to repent about. As Christians, we do make mistakes and sin, but if we do that and we repent, God is faithful and just, and he promises in his word that he would forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's so important to understand that when we repent, it doesn't put you at the back of the line. It simply puts you right back in line. And also today, our final appeal is we want you to just think about your life and think about the decisions that you make and say, you know what, included in this is my family. I know I need to make a change because my family's on my mind.
And I know I just don't need to do it for me, but I also need to do it, you know, for my family. And I understand that the church I go to and the word that I hear, it makes a difference. And I've been thinking about making some changes in my life and also changing environments. And I know the Holy Spirit is helping us today. We believe it's the will of God for every Christian to be connected to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that can help them in their walk with Christ. And so if that's you today, you make a decision to be saved, to rededicate your life, amen, or to repent, I just want to encourage you to please use the connection cards that you see in the seat pocket in front of you. It's also online. You can also utilize the QR code and take a picture of it and go ahead and submit that. And also you can use the connection card for prayer. If you are interested in submitting any prayer requests, you can please go ahead and do that using the connection card either in person or online. Just be assured that the prayer requests that you receive are kept in confidence and prayed over weekly. Amen. And so if you're in the room, you just take that connection card after you fill it out to the first time friends table in the foyer. And if you're online, you would just fill it out and then click submit at the end. Amen. I want to lead us all in a prayer. And this prayer, if you're not one of the ones making those decisions, I'd still like you to make this prayer because it could very well easily help the person sitting next to you. And truth be told, we can all pray this prayer. So please repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we give you praise for what you've done in this room today and online in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can you give God a hand of praise this morning? Amen.